We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Well, good morning. It is so good to be back. And I miss you guys, and really miss being here with you. I always say this, and it's my heart, and that is this, that it's always great to go away, but I love to come back home and be with you guys. And this is going to sound really mean, and it's not going to be very spirit-filled, but I really don't like going to other churches. I like Faith Baptist Church. I'm sorry. We were leaving service, and my son said, "Are you going to go say hi to the pastor?" And I was like, "Do I have to?" That's just how some of you are with me, right? Oh, there's the pastor. I better talk to him, right? I thank you for your prayers, and thank you for being faithful, and appreciate the staff and Pastor Micah filling in, and appreciate all of you so much being here today. Get your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 5. My son's doing well. Thank you for asking about him. He had his orders cut. He leaves Thursday to go to Fort Benning, Georgia to airborne school, and he's going to go jump out of perfectly good airplanes for 3 weeks. The insanity side of the Adams family comes from me. And so I understand why he's doing that. And then all being well, he has a follow-on assignment January to Italy. And he'll be stationed there for several years. So thank you for your prayers and your love for our family. We appreciate it dearly. It means so much to us. And speaking of airplanes and pilots and different things, years ago when we were living in England, we had a young single pilot that used to go to our church. His name was Carlton. And he was one of these guys. Do we have any health nuts in here? Do we have any health nuts? Some of you don't even want to put your hand up. This guy was a health nut. Like, he was just, you know, he was really particular about everything he ate. And I'm not talking about vegetarian. Do you have any vegetarians? A couple of you? Yeah, vegetarian. That's the Indian word for bad hunter. And he would eat, like, really super healthy and was always on people. It's one thing if you're a health nut, but have you ever been around somebody, like, you go to take a bite of the Big Mac, and they're like, "Do you know what's in that?" You're like, "Yeah, I know what's in that," right? You go to pick up something sweet, and they're like, "Ooh, a lot of carbs, a lot of sugar." Mm. That's how he was. And so we had this barbecue at our house. He comes over to the house, and he's sitting there, and I look over at him. He's sitting on my couch just inhaling a hot dog. Like, if you could pick an unhealthy food. I look over him again. He's got a second one. I said, "Carlton, what are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I occasionally eat hot dogs." Okay. A few minutes later, I see him in his left hand. He's got a cupcake. I said, "Dude, that's not healthy for you." He goes, "I know, but I occasionally eat cupcakes." I said, "Okay." And as we went outside to sit around the bonfire, I look at him, and he's sitting there. He's not drinking coffee. He's not drinking hot chocolate. He has a Coke in his hand. I looked at him, and before I could say a word, he just said this, "Occasionally, occasionally." And what was so striking to me was that it was so out of the norm for him. It just would have never imagined that he would do such a thing. I guess "occasionally" was the word that he felt best described his actions, that occasionally he would do this. And as we get back to our series today, back to basics, we got a couple more weeks on this, and I'll be going into our Christmas theme for this year. As we get back to basics for the next several weeks, when it comes to church life and when it comes to being a Christian, you know, you might be shocked to discover that what should be totally normal, a healthy Christian life, for us as believers, sometimes it tends to only ever happen occasionally. Occasionally. I give to the church occasionally. I serve occasionally. I forgive occasionally. I'm kind occasionally. But the reality is, the character of our life should be that we give all the time. We serve all the time. It should be our way of living. You see, the church today is suffering because we have too many occasional Christians. We have far too many occasional Christians. You ask the average Christian, and the reality is that serving is often more of an occasional thing that they do rather than a full-time thing that they embrace. too many believers have a part-time mentality rather than a full-time living for Jesus Christ. You know, some of you might be thinking, well, Pastor, you want everyone to serve all the time. You want everyone to be in ministry. You want this to be happening all the time. And you only feel that way because you're a pastor. Well, maybe. I mean, I would love it if all of you would say, I'm going into full-time Christian ministry. I'd have a heart attack is what would happen. Some of you have said that to the Lord. Some of you have said, I'm ready to go. And some of you are moving in that direction. We heard just last week from Brother Julius, who has completely stepped out and is going full-time. Others who are making that decision now and moving in that direction. But I'm not telling you these things because I know that for some of you going into full-time ministry, it's just not a possibility. It's just not a reality. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. God is not necessarily looking for more of His people to go into ministry full-time as much as He is seeking more of His people to stop being part-time Christians. See, I don't think we need more full-time pastors. I don't. And you may say, I can't believe you're saying that. You're a pastor. You're saying we don't need more full-time pastors? I don't. I don't think we need more full-time pastors. I think we need more full-time Christians. People who are not Christians occasionally or when it suits them. People who understand the concept of being a servant is basic to the Christian life. It's basic to what we do. Friends, if you study church history and what God has done down through the centuries, most of the greatest movements occurred through regular servant-hearted people. It wasn't some specially sacredly anointed pastor. It was through folks just like you. Regular church people. How many of you would say, I'm just a regular church person? Well, I guess the rest of you think you're special then, right? Let me try that again. How many think you're a regular church person? There we go. All right, even the balcony. The balcony's like, yeah, we're in a balcony. We're really regular. We can't even sit down on the floor with everybody. I know you guys are up there. I see you. Did you know that being a servant and being servant-minded is not some special duty, some special task that is reserved only for people in full-time ministry? I think we think that. I did for years in church. As a pastor, I used to think that, well, that's reserved only for the bishops. It's reserved only for the pastors. No. Do you know God wants all of us serving? We learned through our series on missions that all of us are the preachers of the gospel. Would you say amen to that? All of us are. Not just some of us. Not just a select few. There is a holy calling and a heavenly command placed on every Christian who names the name of Jesus. One of my favorite authors, C.H. Spurgeon, says this, he is no Christian who does not seek to serve his God. He is no Christian who does not seek to serve his God. Serving others is simply following the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, by the way, would we agree that he was the ultimate servant? That was really pathetic, amen. I don't know what happened on that. That was like the perfect alley-oop. Would we agree that Jesus was the ultimate servant? Okay. You say, how ultimate? Well, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So what did he do? He took upon him the form of a what? A servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he became, what's the next word? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in Galatians chapter 4, Paul is reminding the church at Galatia. Now, don't go to 4 because we're actually in 5. So I heard some of you flip your Bible. We're going to be in 5, but in 4, okay, in 4, Paul has been reminding this church that they are redeemed. And by the way, do we need to be reminded from time to time that we're redeemed? That we're adopted? That we're part of God's family? And that we're on God's team. Amen? And if you fall into that category, say amen. Amen. Then you know what that automatically makes you? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a servant. Go ahead, tell him. You're a servant. Turn to your other and say, you too. Don't leave your other neighbor out. Okay? And you're like, oh man, I thought I could get left out. No. The problem is, because we're free in Christ, and aren't you glad to be free? Here's the problem with freedom. How many of you have children? Can I see your hands? All right, how many of you, the children are out of the house? Amen. All the happy people. These are all the happy people. Okay. How many of you have young ones that are progressing into teenhood? Let's pause for prayer. How many of you have teenagers that are about to leave the home? Okay, now, here's what you know. The ones that are about to leave the home, they're thinking, freedom. And as a parent, you're just like, say amen, right? This is going to be great, right? Listen, if you're a teenager, you don't know how good you have it right now. You're like, my parents paid you. Not enough to say that, let me tell you. You have no idea. Here's the deal. Why would you go against the very people that loved you and provide for you and have the best interest? Why would you rebel against that? That's idiotic. It's idiotic. The people who are giving everything so you can have a great future, you look at them and think, you've lost your mind. No, they haven't. See, I can't do this at 11 because you guys aren't in here. And by the time Chad gets to you, you're not listening anyway. So this is, okay. Let's look at it this way, friends. We look at the Christian life as a bunch of teenagers. Oh, I have grace. I'm free. I can live as I want. I can do what I want. Wrong. God did not send his son to the cross to die for your sins so you can go back and live like a wild, crazy, lost person again. He wants you to live differently. He's placed within you his Holy Spirit. He's given you a Christ-like mindset. And the problem is, now that it's freedom, it's too easy for us to misunderstand our freedom. And the flip side is, if we think that all the rules are gone, we don't know what to do. This church at Galatia, when Paul said, you have grace, and they said, there's no more rules, they didn't know what to think. No rules, no ceremonies, no rituals. What do we do? No more codes? No. Paul said, no code, but be filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For us, it's the reality that we need to serve one another. And service, if we're not careful, becomes duty and drudgery instead of delight. See, here's what I know about my nasty heart. And if it's true about me, I'm just going to take a gamble here and say that it's probably true about most of you, that it's so much easier to indulge ourselves than it is to serve other people. Most of us didn't get up this morning and go, who can I serve? We were like, coffee. Right? First thing on your mind was you and your need and your addiction, right? Let's get off that right now. Okay, now, friends, there's a serious, serious danger if you're not serving Jesus Christ this morning. And let me just be really clear, because, you know, in church we're like, oh yeah, I serve Jesus. Okay, well, here's the deal. Last time I looked, I don't see Jesus. And do you know who Jesus is? It's his church. It's his people. And if you're not serving, you're in a very dangerous spot. And here's why. Look what Paul told the church after talking to them about their freedom, their position in Christ. I'm just going to lift this one little passage out, and we're going to talk more about this in a minute, but I want you to see something. He's done this groundwork on being free. And because we're free, look what he says in verse 13 of chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Let's all say this together, but by love. Ready? Serve one another. Don't leave out the by love. By love, serve one another. For all the law, how much of the law? All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor, how? As yourself. As yourself. For all the law is fulfilled, he said. Now, look at verse 15. This verse is, I hope, for all of us today, as it did for me this week, I hope this verse will take on a completely new meaning now. Notice, but if you bite and devour one another, you take heed that you don't be consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The challenge is that we cannot see serving Jesus Christ, serving others. Listen, we cannot see this as optional or occasional. It is not how we can see service. And if you see service as optional or occasional, You're going to find out that's a very dangerous place to be. We have to become Christ-focused, others-minded. And let's remember two things this morning. Number one, serving others is not an easy assignment. I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. This is not an easy message, and serving others is not an easy assignment. And listen, you say, well, you're a pastor. I mean, surely it's easy for you. Are you ready? It's not. You think, oh, it just comes naturally to you. No. No. It doesn't come naturally to any of us. You see, Christian service, the way we serve others, it's not natural. Listen, it goes against your flesh. Most of us just don't have that concept. We think, well, after we get saved, now all of a sudden I'll just love to serve. That's not going to happen. And because we're that way, because we have a predisposition to please ourselves, we tend to look at service as optional. We tend to look at it as, oh yeah, I occasionally go down to the church and do something. I occasionally show up to help out. The reality is we live in a self-centered culture, don't we, church? You believe that? Yeah, you're worth it. You deserve it. Have it your way. You deserve a break. I mean, everything is about what? Who? You. Me. It's about me. Please me. Help me. You deserve it. You're worth it. Listen, more me time does not make you more like Jesus. More me time isn't going to make you more like Christ. It's not going to give you a mindset to serve other people. Our culture is please yourself, love yourself, live your life for yourself. And this flies in the face of everything that Jesus taught. Everything Jesus taught, this flies in the face of that. And friends, because we are free in Christ, we have been freed from the bondage of thinking this way. This is the very mindset that Paul was saying, you're free from thinking like that. Don't think like that anymore. And because we are free, we have the ability to serve others. And because we are free, we have the capacity and the power within us to fulfill what Christ commands us to do. Are you listening? Jesus never asks you to do something that he will not help you fulfill. If you look at something and say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. If God's word commands it, then Christ has put the capacity within you to do it. To love. To serve. And if we are not free, then serving others is seen only as a duty. Christianity, my friends, is not about activity or agenda. It's about internal change. It's our hearts being redeemed and renewed and us being active in what Jesus has said that we're to do. You see, love is the necessary element in our service. Look at the text. He says that we are to serve one another. But how do we serve one another in verse 13? There's a little prepositional phrase there. By, what's the word? Love. You can only serve the way Jesus wants you to serve by loving first. Jesus calls us to serve. And you and I will never serve the way Jesus wants us to serve until his love becomes the motivation and the sustaining power enabling us to do the very thing that he commands us to do. That's the only way it happens. And here's the reality. I asked you earlier if you were saved, and most of you said what? Amen. Okay, so because of salvation, there's transformation. And we are encouraged to live out the love of Christ in our life through service. And the command to serve has to be seen through the lens of love. I'm going to serve because I love. So write this thought down. Service is the overflow of a saved life that has been saturated with the love of Christ. It's the overflow. It's what comes out of you because it's what is in you. You guys get that? Say amen. I know you got to hit those blanks, man. I understand. But listen, don't lose this. If you miss this, you'll miss the rest of the message. The only reason you really serve is because it's within you because of the love of Jesus Christ. You're saturated. This is why service without salvation is just duty. And service without love makes you sour. You ever met a miserable servant? I have. Hey, I've been a miserable servant. I've been miserable sometimes in my service for the Lord. Do you know why? Because I haven't allowed the love of Jesus to saturate me the way he should. And I've had expectations on people. I've had expectations on things. And when those things don't fulfill, or when those things don't work out, or when those people do things to me that I don't want, guess what happens? I'm immediately irritated about that. Instead of letting the love of Jesus fill my heart, like the choir was singing, I will remember. I'll remember. See, when we see service in the context of what Jesus says, we realize real quick that I can't serve others without the love and the life of Christ motivating me and controlling me. You see, friends, Jesus is not only our standard of service, He is our source to serve other people. We don't just look to Him, as in Philippians, only as our example and say, okay, yes, Jesus is the ultimate example. I know that, Pastor. I look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I get it. He's not just the example. Because He's within us, He is the motivation, and He gives us the capacity, and He is the source of our ability to serve other people. I will tell you right now, I am a lousy husband when I am not loving Jesus the way I'm supposed to. I am a lousy pastor. I'm a lousy friend. I'm a lousy Christian when I'm not allowing the love of Jesus Christ to be my source and motivation. But when I'm in love with Jesus and I'm allowing His love to change me, guess what? I become much more happier. I become much more joyful in my life. And service begins to flow out of me. Service, friends, listen, look up this way. Service is not easy, or everyone would be doing it. Say amen. Service is not easy, or everyone would be doing it. Everyone. You're like, oh yeah, we all serve. Just not the case. You see, selfishness is easy. Say amen. Say, how easy is it? When the offering plate goes by, you don't put nothing in. It's that easy. You're like, are you preaching on giving? No, that's next week. Like, oh, not going to be. I got a headache coming on. I'm not going to make it, right? I shouldn't have told you that. That's right, I'm preaching on it for 2 weeks, so there you go. You know what else is easy? Sarcasm is easy. Antisocialism is easy. I never understand Christians who are like, I just want to go live on an island by myself. Really? Why? That's not what God wants. I don't want to talk to people. I just want to be left alone. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't leave you alone? Never once have we ever walked alone. Amen. Don't you think there's some other people that need someone who's been down the road and say, listen, I don't need to be antisocial. I need to be Christ-centered and go and be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Okay? It's easy to be selfish and full of sarcasm and antisocial and indifferent. You know what else is easy? Quitting is easy. People quit church, quit ministries, quit marriages. Quit on relationships. They just quit. Oh, I'm just going to quit. That never fixes anything. Ever. Walking away because you can't work it out doesn't solve the problem. Serving is not an easy task. It's hard. But that's why, number two, serving is an inside adjustment before it is an outward action. It's an inside adjustment before it becomes an outward action. Did you see what Paul said in the text? He said that the law is fulfilled. Think about this, Christian. God did not set the law aside as if it was no good or not needed. Jesus fulfilled the law. And when we became a believer, the Holy Spirit took up residence within us. And He takes over our life as we yield our control to Him. And internally, divine power kicks in and starts overriding and overruling things. You say, what does that look like? Have you ever had an opportunity with your spouse? Just say amen. You say, what's an opportunity? An argument. Let me ask that again. Have you ever had an argument with your spouse? And you want to say something. And you go to say it. And you feel the conviction of the Spirit say, shut your mouth. That's how the Spirit speaks to me. He may be kinder to you. I'm so hard-headed, He has to speak like that to me, okay? Don't say a word. In fact, why don't you just apologize first? You're like, mm-mm. You know what God does with the Holy Spirit working in your life? He changes this from this. Okay, Lord. I need to be kind. I need to be gracious. I need to be tender. That's his power at work in your life. It's the internal adjustment. Pastor says from the pulpit, hey, we need this, or let's get some folks who can step up, or we've got this ministry coming, or hey, we're having a special love offering, and you're like, I don't know. You know what the Holy Spirit says? Do this. Do this. That's the change. See, the law has been fulfilled. But what's really interesting is in Galatians 6, verse 2, he says, if you bear one another's burdens, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? What's that all about? Well, the law of Christ can be broken down to several things. Write these down, not in your handout. I'm going to hit them real quick and move on. The law of Christ is to love people. The law of Christ is to learn to listen to others. The law of Christ is to learn to lift up other people. The law of Christ is to share the load of other people. And the law of Christ is to lead others to God. This is how you fulfill the law of Christ. The holy law that God demanded that we could never fulfill was met in Jesus Christ. But this law of Christ, loving others, listening to others, lifting them up, carrying their load, and leading them to God, that is something that you and I can do because of the power of Christ within us. And so Paul said, stop trying to keep codes and rituals and all of these things. God's law has been fulfilled. You don't got to go backwards. And you don't have all this freedom to go do what you want. But what you do have is the law of Christ to be fulfilled in your life. If you get that, just say amen this morning. Okay? Just write this down. This may sum it up. Love is the spring from which our service overflows. There's a spring of His love. And it's out of that spring that love takes over and we begin to serve. You see, the church at Galatia was consumed with personal liberties. They were consumed with going back to the laws. And these issues were destroying the church. Personal preferences. Oh my. My, how these destroy a church. People's little agendas, personal opinions, living in the past, a code of ethics, rules and regulations and personal liberties. These were not uniting the church. They were dividing the church. And in verse 15, he says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Some of you might be shocked how little other people are actually thinking about you. We become so consumed with what other people potentially could be thinking about us that we live in light of an opinion or a thought that we think that they're thinking. Isn't that crazy, church? No, I think it's crazy. Maybe I'm the only one. I think it's crazy. How many of you think it's crazy to think that way? Yes. But we live that way. And the tragedy is that these issues, these same problems are still happening in churches all across America and all over the world. And the text is clear that when a church is not loving and not serving, they are fighting. They are biting. And they are devouring one another. And these words that Paul would employ would be very familiar to the listener. Because this is what wild beasts do to each other. They attack. They tear apart. They destroy and they devour. And I found this week as I went through this very familiar passage, and I'd never seen this before. Some of you Bible scholars probably already had, but I thought to myself, maybe it's just my mind. I thought, Paul, you just compared a bunch of Christians to a bunch of wild beasts. You see that in the text, don't you? He said, if you're not acting like Christ, you act like a wild beast. How many of you ever watched the National Geographic? Or Nat Geo Wild, or, you know, Shark Week. Right? And here's what you notice. Wild animals, beasts, when they're hungry, when they want what they want, they don't care who gets in their way, they will attack. They will turn on their pack. They will turn on their little cubs. They will turn. They will bite, they will claw, they will tear, they will rip until they get what they want. And Paul said, that's how Christians act when they're not in love with Jesus. I've been in churches, and you have too, where you've seen people do this. Turn on each other, attack each other, tear at each other. Now, we don't do it as violently as a wild beast. We do it in our little Bible study groups. We do it over Facebook. We do it on sidebar conversations. You're not building anybody up. You're ripping them apart. Because you want to get what you want to get. You want to think what you want to think. And it's more and more apparent that Christians and churches have become so consumer-centered rather than Christ-centered. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, love does not seek her own, and it is a scary thing to me. And it's sobering that God's children could act like beasts to each other. If that bothers you in the slightest, just say amen. That we would attack one another. That because somebody's got a different preference or taste or opinion, or that out would come the claws and the fangs and wham! Happens all the time, though. It was happening all the way back in Galatians. The reality is many churches have been ravaged by a self-consumed, self-seeking, self-serving, out-of-control Christian. And maybe you've been on the receiving end of a bite or a swipe. You see, when Christians fail to love and serve one another, they end up simply turning on each other and destroying the church that Christ died for. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you don't act like a beast. Walk in the Spirit and you live for Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that those selfish tendencies aren't there anymore. It just means that when you're walking in the Spirit, listen, you have the freedom to not act that way instead of just going with what's natural. It's the only way you and I don't bite people and hurt people and tear at people is to walk and live in the Spirit. I read this week. When we are not filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, it is sweet to eat your enemy. It's a sweet thing. You say, well, who's the enemy? Here's who your enemy is. When you're in the flesh, your enemy is anyone who gets in the way. Anyone who gets in the way. You've seen those wild beasts. They've got some poor animal and they're ravaging the animal. And there's plenty for everybody, but some beast will come up and he goes to dig in on the feast. And the one who took the beast to the ground will turn on him and bite him or her. As if to say, this is mine, and I'll eat you if you get in my way. Friends, can I tell you we have one enemy? Are you listening? It's not your ex-wife. It's not your ex-husband. It's not your last church. It's Satan. We have one adversary, and that's it. It's not your wayward son or daughter. It's not your past. You have one enemy, and that is the devil himself. And if you want to turn on anybody, turn on him. Turn on him. You know, following a system of rules doesn't make you spiritual. This was the thing with Galatia. This was the issue. Let's have more rules. Do you know walking into a worship service doesn't change you and make you spiritual? It's by walking and following and obeying Jesus Christ, letting him lead, emulating his example. Serving others starts as an inside job first. The danger is that we tend to think that if we follow rules, we'll be spiritual. The church in Galatia, like a lot of churches, had a lot of rules, more rules than you could ever want. And a lot of people hid behind those rules, and they looked spiritual, and they looked righteous, but in reality, they were acting wickedly. This is why Paul addressed this. Because they looked like they were serving, it looked like they had everything lined up, but the truth was, how many of you know God sees past the facade? He sees past it. I understand. You're saying, Pastor, we should have no rules? No, I get that there's rules. I understand that. But if we're not in the Spirit, let me tell you what rules do. Rules make you mad and resentful. Those of you that are raising children, just remember this little phrase. Rules without relationship equal rebellion. And it's the same in our life as a believer. When you don't have a relationship with the Father, and the Father says, here's how I want you to live, here's what I want you to do, here's how I want you to serve, when you don't have a relationship with Him, that seemingly rule that He drops on you creates resentment and rebellion to it. But when you know that what God says is what's best, and He says, here's what you should do, do you know what you then do? you happily obey. You see, people never become more Christ-like by following rules and regulations, but by deepening their surrender to the Spirit and growing in their relationship with Jesus. You are not going to become more spiritual by slapping more rules into your life, by trying to do more things. And for time's sake, from verse 17 all the way down to the end of this chapter, Paul talks about being led of the Spirit. He gives great detail to what not being in the Spirit produces. He lists a very lengthy list of life-dominating habit patterns that would point to the fact in verse 21 that if you have these things active in your life, you're probably not saved, because he says if you're doing these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If this is the habit pattern of your life, if this is who you are, you don't inherit the kingdom of God. And then in verse 22, everybody look in the Bible. Are you looking in your Bible? Say amen. Okay. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first word in the fruit of the Spirit? First fruit? Real quick, hermeneutical lesson. When you read the Bible, always remember the law of firsts. The first time something's mentioned, everything then hinges on that. And so here in the first fruit of the Spirit, okay, first fruit is what? And then joy, and then peace, and then long-suffering. So you don't get the long-suffering until you have love. You don't get the gentleness until you have love. You don't get the goodness and faith until you have what? And what did Paul say earlier? It's by love that you what? Serve. Love. Love is the key. And then he says, there's no law against these things. And if you live in the Spirit, then we should what? Walk in the Spirit. Now, church, let me close because I'm out of time. I have more to say, but it needs to be said for another day. Or you can come back at the 11 o'clock, because I always go long at 11. Think about this. You guys know this, so this is a rhetorical question, but should we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind? And what's the second thing? We should love our neighbor. Is that basic Christianity? Yes or no? It's basic. And I mean, that's just fundamental to the faith. Just basic. Love the Lord, love other people. But you know, reading about the commands is different than carrying them out. Think about it like this. If you were to take all of your energy and all of your love and all of your creativity and everything that you do for yourself, just think about this. The time you spend taking care of yourself, feeding yourself, all of the time that you spend thinking, how can I make myself, how can I please myself, how can I enjoy myself, and I want to do this for my... If you took all of that and you began to say, Lord, help me to lavish all of that on other people. You say, is it that extreme? It is, because isn't that what Jesus did? Did he leave the splendor of heaven to come here to this cesspool? Yes or no? And so Jesus is saying, and Paul is saying, love other people the same way. Let me ask you a question. What would happen in churches all across America if Christians actually started doing what I just said? One word, revival. See, we think revival is everybody getting saved. No, revival is God's people getting their heart right. And so if we started to do this serving thing, this basic thing of basic thing of Christianity, by love, serve, bam, revolution would happen. Churches would look very different. In fact, if Christians were carrying out the basic commands of Jesus, the church would be a place of indescribable joy, filled with the glory of God, and not a place where you'd worry about being bitten and devoured. The whole landscape would change. The whole mindset would change. Some of you have been in churches and you've been bitten and devoured. Listen, I have too. I've gone home and been lunch for some people. I understand that. But wouldn't it just be wonderful? Or wouldn't it just be amazing? And wouldn't God just be so honored if we just started to do the basics? Friends, did you know that God has not asked us to love and serve occasionally? Or if we can find the opportunity? Or to do it continually? And I believe that God has poured out His love and faithfulness here at our church for many years now. Do you agree with that? And He's been very faithful. And so here's been my prayer. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Lord, help us here. I'm paraphrasing, but this is the verse, and this has been my prayer. Lord, help us increase in our love one toward another. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, and the Lord make you to increase, to abound in love toward one another. And toward how many men? All men. Take note, friends. If we ever get away from the basics, this church will be in big trouble. It'll be a kill zone, not a Christ-centered zone. Let's not bite and devour. Let's, by love, serve.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.